You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church.
Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
Yay.
As usual.
You know, every time we do this, I'm waiting for you to say, I'm here by myself.
Because that won't happen. I need a co-host well, or a guest or something.
Never say never.
Nobody wants to just listen to me.
Never
trust
say never.
Me. But I do find it funny that we're sitting here as usual, but David's in shorts.
Yep.
And I'm sitting under an electric blanket.
Yeah. I can see the cord strung across my office.
Yes. Yeah. I love this thing.
No, this is the perfect, this is the most gorgeous weather ever.
I do love this weather, but I am cold in this church and my hands are cold. So, you know, that is what it is. So we have been moving right along in the book of James. We, the last 2 weeks that we're going to cover today in this episode are James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, which is hearing and being doers of the word. Mm-hmm. And then also the first chunk of chapter 2. Haley, that was for you if you're listening. She hates that word, chunk.
Oh.
chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, the sin of partiality.
Yep.
And so I'm just thinking, like, to kind of recap where we've been already. So we've talked about genuine faith, right? And what that looks like. So we know that genuine faith perseveres in trial. It resists and flees from temptation. Mm-hmm. It's actively obedient to the word. And we've now learned too that it does not discriminate. Mm-hmm. So let's jump into that a little bit. Some things that kind of stuck out to me. So let's go back 2 weeks to chapter 1. Mm-hmm. The section 19 through 27, specifically verse 21. Let's see here. I'll read it. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to receive the implanted word?
Okay.
It sounds fancy.
It does sound fancy. So note, you got to look at the entire context of the book, because if we took that out of context, mm-hmm. And we just looked at that verse, it'd be very easy, because James uses this language to save your souls. And when you hear save, the first thing a person might jump to is, oh, this is talking about my salvation.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But you got to remember, James is writing to believers. So when you look at the entire context of this, he's saying something that everything about what he's saying here is speaking into those that are already followers of Christ. So salvation is not the issue here as far as, you know, as far as death to life, you know, lost to being found by Christ. Mm-hmm. Because a person that is still lost would not have the implanted word of God in them, right? He's not talking about salvation, again, as far as eternity. He's talking about the salvation that is ongoing through sanctification. Mm-hmm. We are constantly being saved. This is why Paul says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, right? So James is speaking the same thing. So what he's saying is that when you became a believer, God implanted the very word in you. This is if you think about this, the bigger picture. So I don't want to digress it down to this, but what do you say when you're a little kid? I received Jesus into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I get the premise.
Right.
In technicality, Jesus is not in your heart. Jesus is exalted in heaven. But what was implanted into my heart? Well, what was implanted in me in my salvation was the very Holy Spirit, which is the very mm-hmm. Spirit of Christ. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the Word of God. I mean, the Word became flesh. So Jesus is implanted into me through the Holy Spirit when I became a believer. That has been a plan. Now, as a believer in Christ, to be a doer means I receive that by doing what he's saying. Get rid of the moral filth and receive this change that's in you, which is the saving of your soul, which is this is your sanctification. This is becoming more like Christ. I'm receiving the new life that is in me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm embracing what is in, like, has been given to me. Mm-hmm. The issue is this is, I think a lot of Christians never live out this, because we've foolishly been taught and believed, oh, I got my ticket to heaven. Now, but this is, James is like, no, be a doer of the word, meaning become more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that by receiving what's been implanted in you by, you can kind of look at a bunch of scriptures, like Paul saying, keep in step with the Spirit. That would fit with that, right? Like, every time Paul said, put off all of these things and put on the you know, put on Christ and put on righteousness. It's the same truth. It's just James is wording it in a little different way by receiving what's been put inside of you. Like, it's almost like you've been given this deposit. Now use it.
Yeah.
Use it. Receive it.
I like it.
So, and that reception is not the reception of it. Because again, he's not that we think of receiving like, oh, you're giving it to me. Now right. I'm bringing it. That thought is thrown out the window when he says implanted word. It's like, it's already in you. Now let it do what it's meant to do. Receive
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be kind of like if I, this might sound weird, but in my brain, you know, it'd be like if I put $1 million in your bank account, you have it, now receive mm-hmm. it, start using it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you already have okay. it, it's implanted. Well, I can't.
Oh, darn.
I'll give you a dollar. But that's what I think, you know, that's what I see when James says that. That's mm-hmm. what that means. It's already in you, now receive it to let it do what it's supposed to do. And you know, and as you see that, you're going to see your soul is being saved. Like, yeah. you're going to be transformed and yeah. changed.
Fruit.
Yeah.
Sure.
More like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, I love that.
Anyways.
Okay. So now let's jump down to verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, James lists three tests of true religion here, right? Mm-hmm. So visit orphans, visit widows, keep oneself unstained from the world. Like, when he's saying this, like, is it literal? Like, it's literal, but also I feel like there's more to mm-hmm. this, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very much so, because think about who the orphans and widows represent in that culture,
sure,
in that society. These are the
less than.
Yeah. These are the people that are not going to give you anything in return. Like, you are not going to help an orphan with the intention of, I'm going to get something paid back to me by this individual.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what James is saying is you are actually fulfilling the heart of God, because God took care of you and you have nothing to offer in return.
Mm-hmm.
So go do the same. Go help those that, and don't do it with the spirit of, what do I get out of it?
Right.
Right. So he is speaking of the less thans. Mm-hmm. He's speaking of, but that it's interesting. We didn't talk about it this last Sunday, but then that makes perfect sense why then he starts talking about don't show favoritism.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, this is one of the yeah. ways that you're, it's going to get in the way
really
of you doing your pure
together.
Religion.
Yeah.
Now, another thing I would say real quick is, we didn't, again, talk about it on Sunday when I preached on this, but when you talk about these are the marks or tests of true faith,
mm-hmm.
I love when James uses the word religion. Or mm-hmm. what we've defined, you know, right. interpret as religion.
Right.
Because we live in a world that people walk around and say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual.
Mm, yeah, I've heard that a few times.
It's knock that off. Okay. And I get what the premise behind it is trying to say. You mm-hmm. know, it's not about religion, it's about relationship.
Sure.
True. I get that. But religion is also, it's a system that we choose to follow. It's mm-hmm. like, it's the relationship put into action. It's mm-hmm. like, because when people say, I'm not religious,
good.
I'm spiritual.
Right.
They say that because that's why I don't have to go to church.
Right, yeah.
That's why I don't have to do these things. Yeah, like, I don't have to do anything because I'm spiritual. But the Bible's saying there is a pure religion.
Right. And do you think that's part of us maybe kind of bucking authority?
Oh, very much
because
so.
We don't want to come under
very
any
so.
Authority,
yeah.
and especially the church's authority, yeah. you know?
It's a control thing, too,
yeah.
in the sense of, it's the authority, but it's the control of, I'm in control of my own relationship. And
mm-hmm.
you know, like Jesus, it's interesting when you hear people say, like, Jesus and I have got this figured out.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't.
Mm, yeah.
whatever Jesus you're figuring it out with is
it
not the real Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? But I appreciate, because that's another mark of mm-hmm. of true faith, is a person that accepts that, no, this is a religion.
Sure.
Not in the, I mean, I don't want people to fall into the, oh, do's and don'ts and the rules and all. But there are responsibilities to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just I get to define it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like that he uses that word,
mm-hmm.
you know, or that's been translated that word, is pure religion, or religion that is pure, you know, before God. But anyways, it goes back to the, you know, these are the less thans. These are the people that are shunned. These are the
right.
people that are overlooked.
So does it look the same for all of us?
in,
like, I'm thinking, like, are, should we all be adopting orphans? Oh, okay. Should we, you know what I mean? Like,
the, that could be, I mean, you could take it that literal,
like,
I would say this, should we all be adopted? Like,
cause that's, I mean, that's scary and convicting and like,
it is. I would say this would be my answer to that. No, unless God is leading us to do it.
Right.
But here's the issue.
Right.
Whether we're even seeking God, if we should.
Sure.
See, that's the kicker is, I don't want to sit there like this blanket, like, yes, if you have the means, you should look into doing that. Because, mm-hmm. again, God's going to lead however he leads. Mm-hmm. The issue is whether we've already slammed the door on that possibility and we're not even mm-hmm. listening to God in the first place. Mm-hmm. So as Christians, I'm going to say, yes, we should be completely open to whatever God leads us to do. Mm-hmm. Not automatically, no, that's not for us.
Right.
It might not be. That's the point. It's not as mm-hmm. blanket like, yes, go adopt.
Right.
Okay. It's not the blanket, yes, go, you know, take, you know, visit every widow, you know, you know what I'm saying? But it's,
yeah.
it's when we automatically remove ourselves from the possibility, then I think we're in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. And it's having a heart for those things mm-hmm. too. Right. Like, cause I think if our hearts are hard against those things that, you know, for whatever the motivation or whatever, then we're missing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, go back yeah. to what we just got talking about mm-hmm. with it, receive the implanted word, which will save mm-hmm. your soul. That's going to change your heart.
Mm-hmm.
The soul and heart in the Bible many times is the same word, or it's the connect. It's that inner person. So James, what you just brought up is if we have a hard heart towards these things,
mm-hmm.
then that's a reality check back to us to maybe ask the question, are we receiving the word? Again, it's not this blanket statement that your heart's going to change and you're automatically going to go do that.
Yeah.
But it could be anything. It could be maybe not adopting, but let's take case in point. Maybe you're in the church and as God moves in your heart, let's say you're a man in the church that God starts moving in you. He's like, you know, there's a lot of children in our church that don't have strong father figures.
Absolutely.
Man, maybe I could volunteer mm-hmm. and I could help in ministry and I could, you know, it's not about you being their dad. It's just,
right.
I'm going to go
sure.
try to be a positive influence in them, even if it's 1 hour a week.
Mm-hmm.
In this context, or it's, and it doesn't even have to be in the church. It could be a Christian male that says, you know what, or even a woman could say, you know what, I'm going to go volunteer for Big Brothers, Big Sisters,
mm-hmm.
because there are kids out there that just need an adult presence
mm-hmm.
that speaks into them. Right. So again, doesn't have to be these big things. Mm-hmm. All right. It could be small things like that. It could be, but again, I don't want us to focus so much on the orphans and widows part.
Right.
Focus on those that are in need.
Okay.
Right, because that could be somebody in our church too.
Absolutely,
it could be an actual whole family that mm-hmm. has a mother and father. But you're looking at them like, man, mm-hmm. I could help them.
Yeah,
and so
yeah,
I'm going to take what I can do and I'm going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the core of what James is talking about. It's you're paying attention to those that are in need because it goes back to the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
God looked at us and we had the ultimate need of salvation, and he did something about it. Now
mm-hmm.
we can help even if they're in the smallest degrees, you know, and that's what I think James is talking about. It's yeah. a person that it's not about you. We're starting to pay attention around sure. us. So sure.
No, that's good. That's good. So just thinking through this section of being hearers and doers of the word,
mm-hmm.
What are just briefly like some practical ways we can like really try to do this, because it is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is so hard.
Practical ways. Practical way number one.
I'm a step person. Yeah, like no, I need action steps.
I get that. Practical way number one is you have to humbly and prayerfully accept that you are not always right.
Mm. Well, that's no fun, and Pastor David.
That's an ongoing thing. That is not a one-time prayer.
I mean, fine.
It's a constant prayer before God to basically just prayerfully before God, like, show yep. me my blind spots.
Yeah.
Let me hear, you know, mm-hmm. help me to pay attention, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Practical way number two, in my opinion, is we have to get out of our silos of listen. Like, we have certain things we will listen to and things we won't listen to. And so this might challenge some people, and you got to be careful with this. Sometimes you got to listen to things that you don't agree with.
Yeah.
And you know that even when you listen to it, you're still not going to agree with it, but you mm-hmm. still need to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we just surround ourselves with the echo chambers of these silos of echo chambers that it's like I'm comfortable with,
right,
you're going to not listen,
right?
Because you're going to hear what you hear.
Well, especially in this day and age with all of the media that's just mm-hmm. at our fingertips between podcasts and TV shows and I don't know, Bible, like everything. Yeah. I feel like it's really easy to just lean into mm-hmm. those people that agree with you. Yes. And yeah, yes. that's something I definitely need yes. to.
And we can even do that when it comes to our studying of scripture.
Oh, sure.
This is why you have to be, this is where I give a warning. Be very careful with yeah. this. Don't do, you got to be very careful with this.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, if you're a person that likes, you know, other people that are listening, if you like to read and you like to study,
mm-hmm.
we can fall into a habit. Oh, I have my favorite authors.
Yes.
I have my favorite because yes. I know what they're going to say.
Uh-huh. I feel they're gonna, solid. Yep. Like, yep.
Yep. And, mm-hmm. And also, and one of the reasons we have to be willing to listen to things that we know we won't agree with is because you don't know how to speak into that or against that mm-hmm. unless you interact with it.
Sure.
And so this is where I say you got to be careful, mm-hmm. right? Because, it's just one of those things where I think that's a practical thing.
Mm-hmm.
People, again, got to be careful about it. Because if you are wishy-washy, it's really easy to, you know, get pulled,
yeah.
you know, into certain directions. So I say that with a massive warning sign.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that alone in the mm-hmm. sense of, oh, I'm just going to read this book that I might, you know, if you got to have people around you to
yeah.
ask questions. And so just be careful with that. But this isn't just about hearing from the word. It's,
mm-hmm.
as you said, echo chamber, you know, like we surround ourselves with the people that agree with us.
Mm-hmm.
So in our world today, I didn't want to get into it. If I would have tried to preach this during the sermon, it would have been an hour and a half sermon because I had a whole nother section.
Well, thank you for your restraint.
I try. Because I had a whole nother section that I was really hoping to put into it, but I took uh-huh. it out a couple days before because mm-hmm. I just knew there was too much
sure,
with just to unpack. On the word.
Yeah.
But when you take that be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry, that has a practical implication too. I focused on the scripture and God aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
but that has to deal with even how we deal with one another. Mm-hmm. Like how many people that are listening right now, you don't even speak to people. I shouldn't say that. You speak to people that have maybe different political ideologies, but you don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're so quick to like, I'm going to bark you down. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. I'm going to,
yeah.
That's why the Bible says, listen. It's even when we try to reach people for Jesus, if all you're doing is waiting for you to tell them why they're wrong or tell them what they need, but you don't take the time to listen to them.
Yeah. It's not going to,
you're in the wrong.
Yeah.
You're going against scripture. Mm-hmm. Be quick to listen.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you should listen more than you speak
mm-hmm.
because if we do that, if we listen more than we speak, we will discover that God will give us what we need to speak, not what we think we need to speak.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be when based on what it. I hear.
Yeah.
Like I take the time to hear you. Like I could look at somebody and I automatically like, you need to hear this. I'm going to tell mm-hmm. you why you're wrong. I'm going to tell. Mm-hmm. And then if I hear your story, all of a sudden mm-hmm. I might find myself going, your issue is not what I mentioned. There's something deeper there.
Yeah.
That God wants yeah. me to speak to.
Yeah.
But I was out here that I thought this is what needed to be said.
Right.
Right.
Because we never know.
We never know.
Hear that a lot. Like you don't know what someone's really yeah. actually going through and mm-hmm. what, yeah. So
it's with a lot of that, like in that part of the sermon, I want to, you know, again, I had the notes for it, but it's everything from, you know, you think about, we live in a world with the transgenderism and
mm-hmm.
the homosexuality and all these thoughts and ideologies and how as Christians, we just want to bark at people to say, the Bible says, right, which is mm-hmm. true, but right. I had a person in my life a long time ago that struggled with homosexuality. They were a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
They struggled with homosexuality. It was something that was constantly with them, the desire for it, and all of that. It would be really easy to talk to them where a person would just say, "Well, you know what the Bible says."
Mm-hmm.
The issue was when I became really good friends with them. I started hearing more of their story and they started telling me about what their home life was like with their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And their dad was not like sexually abusive or anything like that, but it was an environment that fed into. And so their number one issue was a relationship between a father and a son,
mm-hmm.
which really wrestled with their relationship with understanding God as a father Absolutely. And a child. They, because of that, it fed into this sin of homosexuality. Mm-hmm. So the issue is what I'm saying is a lot of people could look at that individual and just push this. The Bible says this about homosexuality
mm-hmm.
because they never listened to what he was really wrestling with
mm-hmm.
deeper down.
Yeah.
And that's that primary is you got to be willing to be quiet It's not, and it goes back to even the Bible. One of the reasons, when you read the Bible, practical, you know, to be a listener, you got to try your best not to just enter in it with your preconceived, mm-hmm. you know. Again, people don't like hearing that because it's like, are you saying I'm wrong? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you're just wanting to listen to what God has to say for you right then. But if you walk into it like, I know all those. I'll give you a great example of this. Christmas is coming up. Surprise, everybody didn't know.
surprise those of you that have your trees up already.
Surprise. Somebody right now is going, oh, crap, I didn't realize.
You have to live under a rock just because it's everywhere already.
But as an example about not having preconceived, almost every year Christmas rolls around when I'm reading scripture or even if I'm just there. Do you have any portions of the Bible that sometimes when you're reading it, you'll get to it and you're like, yeah, I know these stories already, and you kind of jump over it?
Yeah.
I already have a preconceived. I know this.
Yeah.
There's nothing for me to hear mm-hmm. here. So I'm choosing to basically tell God, mm-hmm. I already know this. There's nothing you can speak to me through this story.
Mm-hmm.
That's not coming to the scripture ready to mm-hmm. hear. You know, so the example would be, you know, I'm reading, you know, let's say I go back and I'm reading for Christmas. Like, well, I'm going to read the Gospels. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I already know about the Magi. Let's skip ahead.
Yep.
Sermon on the Mount. I know that one. I'm good with that. You've already shown yourself. You're not a hearer.
Yeah.
You've already have like, I know this. I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a practical is you have to understand it's living and active mm-hmm. and it can speak through everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even the book of Numbers can speak to you.
Yeah. Even the book of Leviticus.
The book of Leviticus.
I'm reading that right now, and it is blowing my mind.
Well.
Good stuff.
It is. It's very bloody.
Yeah. But I mean, it's so fascinating, and the connections to Christ and his atoning work is just, like, blowing my mind right now. It's so cool.
I bet.
Yeah.
Leviticus is a very good book.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super into it right now. Okay. So was that your was that your practical? Okay.
I had no notes, so that was all spurt. Okay. So I guess you can say if that answered the question.
I think so. I think that's a good – I think those were great. Those were great. Okay. So let's move on to chapter 2.
Okay.
Let's see here. Let's do verses 2-4. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Mm-hmm. So based on the context of James's comments in those verses, like, would we say, like, the early church, did it consist of mostly wealthy people, of mostly, like, poor people? Like, who, you know, because who is he speaking to here?
Well,
like, who's his audience?
That's a great question. I think when we look at scripture, especially in Acts, mm-hmm. We do see that there's a very significant mix. There was definitely wealthy people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have examples of Acts where it talks about them selling possessions.
That's actually where I was going to go.
Okay, and like selling fields, and then
so they must have had.
There was wealthy people in the church. Well, then you even look at like Acts with the start of the church in Ephesus, and my mind is drawing a blank. Who was the woman that Paul Lydia? Was it Lydia that was the woman that she was one of the first. Founders, like she was the one that sold fine purple clothing.
Yes, Lydia.
So she was like extremely Lydia. She was mm-hmm. a very wealthy woman.
Yeah.
So there was wealthy people in the early church.
Mm-hmm.
But I would probably lean to there was probably a lot more poor.
Sure.
And one of the reasons because of that is when you see who was following Jesus, you look at Jesus' ministry, and I would say that based on Jesus' proclamation, like you know, him saying things like when John sent his disciples and said, go ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? And Jesus said, well, mm-hmm. pay attention to what you're seeing. The blind are receiving sight. The lame are walking. The poor are receiving the good news. So Jesus is saying, like, this is who I'm coming, like, I'm mm-hmm. coming to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was a great number of poor people in the church. And I alluded to this on Sunday, and this isn't my thought. This was actually just reading some other theologians and also historians. When you look at the history of the church has primarily been people of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not been, that does not mean there's not wealthy Christians.
Right.
But the other issue that we have with reading that is we're reading it in our context. If you were to take the entirety of the church worldwide, worldwide, we are a Christianity is poverty.
Yeah.
Even you take Africa and China and other places of the world, South America. So that's what's when we read into it, we're coming from a, because if you're reading this and you're hearing me right now and you're listening to this on your iPhone, you're wealthy.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe not from an American context.
Even on our Android?
Even on our Androids, we're semi. Okay. Semi-wealthy.
We're not as high up as the iPhone users.
I mean, if I'm not struggling on what I'm going to eat tonight,
right,
and am I going to be warm enough? I mean, we're rich.
We are rich. Yes. Absolutely.
But then when you ask who is he writing to, he honestly, that it fits with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about this, and I didn't really think about this until you just asked that question, but let's say I'm a rich person reading or hearing that the first time. Well, I'm going to hobnob with my rich friends. So if a rich guy comes into the church, of course, I'm going to be like, hey, I know you from the country club. Come on over. We're similar. I'm familiar with you.
Absolutely.
I'm comfortable. Hey, if I get close to you, my business dealings could be better because you could help me out. So as a rich person, I could very much ignore the poor and focus on the rich. Now, flip side, if I'm the poor and a rich person comes in, I can, let's be nice to him because he could help us. You know what I'm saying? So even a poor person could read this and do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And look at another poor person and say, you have nothing to offer me. I'm gonna, because I need a job. Or they could start giving more money to the church, and then I'm going to benefit from that. Because you got to remember, in the early church, they weren't paying for buildings, and they weren't paying. So where did the tithing go? It went to the people that needed it. So man, I'm going to suck up to you and show you favoritism, because if you give more, then there's more that can then filter down to us that need it. So that really, it fits with both. It just depends on what they're, why are they showing that favoritism?
Sure.
So
that's interesting. I have so many questions someday. I mean, I know we talk about that all the time, and I'm always like, oh, so many questions. Okay, so let's move to verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. Okay, what in the world? What is the royal law? Why is it royal?
So I spoke into this on Sunday a little bit. It's royal because of who gave the law. It's the law given by the king. This is going to be one of the hardest parts is Christianity, and this goes back to what James is saying about even our sanctification. By which kingdom are we living, right? So the idea being is I live in the world, I'm from the world, you know, I lived of the kingdom of this world, and then I became a Christian. Now my allegiances are to God's kingdom, and my allegiance is to God's law. Okay, so notice what because he tells us what the law is. Well, he tells us what part of the law is. If you really keep the royal law, so verse 8, found in scripture, and then he tells us what it is. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the royal law is what Jesus, what we would call the greatest commandment.
Yeah.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so it's the royal law because it's the law given by the king. It's the law that governs every other law. Right. So it doesn't matter what other aspect of what it means to follow Jesus. Everything gets filtered through that one law. Right. So we could be sitting here debate any aspect of our lives. It all has to get filtered through that one law. Is this me loving God with everything that I have? And is this me loving other people as I love myself? Right. Everything gets filtered through that one law.
Sure.
That's the standard of everything. Right.
A tall order.
It's a very tall order. It's very tall. And so as an example, when I say which kingdom are we living towards? So the world tells me I'm going to treat you, right? Like I will treat you a certain way depending upon if you earn it or how you determine to treat me. Right? So go back to this favoritism thing. It's you know, we live in a society, like just the world, my flesh wants to say, I'll give you respect if you give me respect. I'll love you if you love me. As soon as you don't, I'm not going to love you, right? That's what humanity tells us. That's what the world tells us. Notice that nowhere in this thing about favoritism does James ever address a do this if they do this. He just lays it out very, show no partiality, period. But James, what about, like, James, we're trying to pay off the building. Rich guy came in. Man, there's an if there. James is like, I don't care. I don't care. There's no caveat to this. We're called to not show favoritism. We're called to love others as we love ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that there's still not common sense to that. There's not. But at the end of the day, I didn't say this on Sunday, but it was in my notes as I was, like, I have a notebook that I just even write my own notes for myself as I'm mm-hmm. going through James. And it comes down to this. As a Christian, I believe we are supposed to look at people through two lenses, right? These are the two lenses. If you are a believer in Jesus, so anybody that's a believer in Jesus, you are my brother and sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. That's lens number one. Mm-hmm. So I treat you as you are my family. Mm-hmm. That's it. You are my brother and sister in Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a baby Christian, mature Christian, you are my brother and sister in Christ. If a person is not a Christian, then the lens we use for them is, that's a person Jesus died for and they need mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the lens I have to use. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean there's still not safeguards that we can put on that.
Sure.
But ultimately, that should be my lens.
Right.
You need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And however God can use me to maybe help you. Yeah. So again, one of the ways, my favoritism, God might not ever ask me to be in a physical, when I say physical, I mean like side-by-side relationship with somebody. Mm-hmm. But man, even if my favoritism, I can't see a lost person through that lens that I can't even pray for their salvation, mm-hmm. I'm showing favoritism. Like I'm basically saying, you're not worthy enough for me to pray for you to receive Jesus. Mm-hmm. So to me, those are the two lenses. Yeah. If you're a Christian, you're my family.
Yeah.
If you're not a Christian, you need Jesus and he died for you. Do we see people through those lenses?
That's good.
It's,
you kind of answered that. Practical ways to stop
there
it.
You go. There you go. Sorry.
Stop showing partiality. Yeah. Just stop it.
But so anybody that's listening to this right now, you if you take that on its own, that's mm-hmm. overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelming for me to say it because that's so far beyond me. Right? It really is because I have people that I know they're Christians that I struggle with. Mm-hmm. We all do. And of course, lost people. I mean, I'm not saying it's, man, we all struggle with it. But this mm-hmm. goes back to what James was talking about. You go back to the verse you asked, 121. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that so mm-hmm. Is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Mm-hmm. Right? You got to see this as that continuous train of thought.
Yeah,
We're breaking it up week by week, so it's kind of hard to keep this continuous thought, but James is writing in a continuous thought. Mm-hmm. And he's basically saying, you can live out the royal law if you're actively receiving the implanted word that's in you, because mm-hmm. that's the power of this.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit in you is the one that produces this ability in you. So if you're not receiving the planted word in you, of course you're going to struggle with this. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. my encouragement. Is anybody here that's like, I can't? You're right, but he can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
That's good. Yep.
So,
yep. That's a good reminder. Yeah. We do not do it on our own power.
No.
That is for certain.
No. Exactly.
Awesome. Well, good. So I would just continue to encourage people. Like, I don't know if people just don't have questions and you just are like bringing it every Sunday and answering everyone's questions. I always have questions. I'm probably super annoying sometimes, but like these are the things that keep me awake at night. I'm like, whoa. So, hey, if there's something in the sermon that you're like, okay, I need him to dig into that more, or he wasn't able to get into something fully, like that you are still a little like unsure about, mm-hmm. so reach out to us, send us an email or catch us after church or whatever. We would love to hear your questions or your thoughts. And then if we can address them here, that's awesome.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I would even go as far as, man, if you're here, write it on a piece of paper, throw it in my office.
Yeah.
Stick it on my table, put it on the desk. All I ask is this. Honestly, is if you have a question, especially if it's a really difficult question, I would encourage, if you feel comfortable doing it, let us know who you are that asked it. Because I just want to be able, if I don't understand your question, just to reach out, just be like, hey, I want to make sure I'm understanding what you're asking.
Right.
So I just encourage that, because it's not we were just talking about a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a dumb question when it comes to understanding God and the Bible.
Yeah.
So don't feel nervous on that. Mm-hmm. And if mm-hmm. you were reached out to by us or by me or even Malia of, hey, can we clarify this? That's the only intent behind it. It's not to, you know, how dare you ask, or that's, we just want to make sure we understand where you're coming from. And mm-hmm. that helps mm-hmm. if you kind of give us a heads up on who's asking. Mm-hmm. So
I was listening to something this morning and he was talking about how cool God is that he made the gospel like shallow enough that even a child in their own childlike way can understand it, mm-hmm. but deep enough that theologians and people that have gone to school for years and studied still have questions and are still trying to understand. And like, I love that. Like, what other thing, you know, that's just, that is so God.
That is. That's a good point.
That, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I've read James many, many times. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite, I've said it before. It's one of my, it's one of the first books I started kind of memorizing parts of it and stuff like that from a teenager. But this study, even for me, has been like, oh my goodness, this is so deeper than I
Yeah.
I mean,
it's good. It's good. All right. Thanks for listening.